What's up, everybody? This is Jopper, Papa Pump, Penazai. And if you don't believe in God right now, you better start, because we're going to do reps for Jesus, motherfucker, with my main man, John DeMatt. Maz, how you doing, buddy?
Dude, I think I'm going to change my moniker to Dicklicious.
Dick. John Dicklicious Maz.
I came up with that the other day. You're welcome.
Yeah, I love it. So, Maz, you just came back from a trip. I believe you went to Nuguana. How was that?
I went to Kathmandu.
How was that?
I was looking for Cat Stevens.
I knew it. Cat Williams.
Yo, I love that guy. Oh, man. I've been telling this story so many times. My experience in Japan was everything I hoped and dreamed it would be. I've been to Japan probably like between work and pleasure. Barely know her.
Oh, yeah. BJ.
Probably like at least 2 dozen times. But this is the first time I actually went with the purpose to train, and I went and trained at the Kodokan, the International Institute for Judo.
So you trained at the Kodokan. Tell us, what is the main difference between training in the Kodokan and training judo in America?
Well, number one would be the facility. The facility is everything you would expect, hope, and dream an international facility would be. It's 8 stories. It has like 5 or 6 dojos, 1 massive dojo. It's like over 25,000 square feet of mat space. It's,
when you say dojo, you mean a hooker that gives you a BJ for free.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's a ZJ. You can't afford one. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, it's almost like we were talking about earlier. It's pretty intimidating. You know, you walk onto the mat. Was definitely one of the only white people there. And then, I mean, most of the people there are Japanese, you know. And then there's some foreigners that come to train, depending, you know, what the situation is or what time of the year. People come for different training camps, but not everybody there is a black belt. Everybody there is fucking badass.
Now, you were telling me there was actually a separation between white and black. There was no really in the middle belts. So what would you say, what was the main difference between the white belts? What was the main difference with the training for the black belts?
Well, if you were a white belt, you still could train in the Randori,
mm-hmm.
Open sessions, because there it was pretty much like open sparring, open mat every night. They do have white belt classes that you can enroll in.
And I'm assuming the classes are more technical.
The classes are more like kata, more technical, more like moving with your partner, just being like a good uki, and like just learning all the technical basics, all the throws. They do have like a monthly tournament, mm-hmm. and where it's kind of like King of the Mountain, where they'll have one dude go in the middle of the ring, and then you stay if you win, and if you lose, you leave, and then it goes on for a certain amount of time, and then whoever has the most points or most stays wins that tournament. I've seen a bunch of white belts fucking up brown belts that are international students and black belts, so you know, it's all just depends on like your athleticism as well as your knowledge of the sport.
Now, there was something interesting you said, and it's funny because I noticed in high-level Muay Thai and high-level Jiu-Jitsu in Brazil, that it's the same way, that you were saying black belt was more of a open mat kind of feel where people just, hey, you want to roll, hey, you want to do this, you want to do that. It was less structured. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was totally different format than we're used to. You know, here in America or, you know, most other training facilities, it's more a structured class. Like, okay, come in 10 or 15 minutes of warm-up, 10 or 15 minutes of technique, and then maybe you do some positional stuff, and then you get your rolling in.
Missionary position.
There you go. And then you get your rolling in, or your training, or your randori, depending on your sport, your sparring. But this was different. This was just straight up like, come in, as far as the judo warm-up, you know, you would do your uchikamis, or whatever stretching you'd like to do. You would do your kazushis, or your fits, whatever you want to call them. And then you would just go up to random people and ask them if they wanted to spar or roll, you know, either, you know, randori, naiwaza, groundwork, standing work, whatever you wanted to do. And you would just go. Like, I was part of the international department, so the one coach was saying, like, this isn't competition, this isn't a fight. You don't have to get, like, crazy and, like, grip fight and just be savages. But to more come out, you know, you come out, this is what I have as a technique, this is what you have as a technique, let's see.
It was more play.
It was definitely more play. Like, I definitely did get into some battles, for sure, but I definitely had a lot of rounds where people were obviously, like, letting me throw them or try different techniques, and, you know, people caught me with some techniques that maybe I could have blocked or jumped over, you know, whatever, but the training environment is way different. First of all, the fall there is no big deal. It's the perfect matted floor. It's a floating floor, so when you do fall or get launched,
it's not like our background in judo where we trained in on a concrete mat where we got slammed and you could feel everything.
No, man. Like, the first night I was there, I was training with the sensei that was the head of the international department, And he launched a few Uchimatas on me before I even knew they were coming. I was already looking at the ceiling, and I was just, like, bracing myself to fall, and I was dreading it on the way down. And it really was, after that first throw, and I landed, and I did a good break fall, even when I did a shitty break fall, it didn't hurt. The way the mats are set up, it really takes the bite, the sting out of it. So you're like, oh, I'll go for a throw, or I'll go for a technique that maybe I can't land because it's not going to be this, like, brutal, horrific sensation on my body.
Of course. I mean, you know, it's like almost in any sport, you know, the mat in judo being soft is, like, basically the equivalent of, you know, boxing or kickboxing.
Having the right gloves.
70% or bigger gloves or this and that. It allows you the security to do more rather than, oh, okay, I don't want to really try this throw because he may reverse it and slam me on my back.
Yeah, so it made for a really pleasurable training experience. And then as far as, like, the instruction, there's a lot of black belts there, so everybody knows all the techniques.
Yeah.
And when you're training, they'll be like, oh, you know,
try this, do that.
Yeah, move your hips this way, move your feet that way, grip this way. A lot of the stuff that I learned there was a lot of just, you know, like any other sport, emphasis on basics.
Yeah, which, you know, that's the only way to go.
You know, I agree. And, you know, I learned, like, really different gripping techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned, I just learned a few different nuances that you don't pick up in the books or you don't pick up in videos. You pick up somebody actually grabbing you, showing you, feeling it, and then repeating it. Yeah.
So we got to switch gears right now because I'm burning to talk about this. We've had so many conversations on it. Tell us your opinion on the whole Anderson Silva PED situation because I can't wait to chime in on this motherfucker.
Dude, I mean, it's professional sports. Everybody's talking about this like it's some big fucking second coming of Jesus or revelation. If you participate in a professional sport, I don't care on what level. You can be the lowest level of mixed martial arts, maybe the lowest level of badminton, the lowest level of professional bowling. You are partaking in some sort of performance-enhancing drug.
Absolutely.
It might not be the DECA anabolic stuff, but you're definitely putting something in your body that isn't, you know, in a normal person who works at a desk job's daily average intake. So, like, I've heard other people on podcasts talking about this and other news organizations, like, you know, I mean, is organic food now considered a performance-enhancing supplement? Because normal people don't eat that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go through the litany of things. Anderson Silva, am I not about his performance-enhancing drugs? I'm not surprised, dude. It's mixed martial arts. I've been a part of your training camps. I've been a part of other friends' training camps. I'm not a professional fighter. I'm a hobbyist with jiu-jitsu and judo and a little bit of wrestling. I couldn't make it through a full camp without getting injured. I remember training with you almost 10 years ago getting hurt and being out of commission for a few days.
Let's think about it.
And those guys are training 3 days a week, doing crazy runs, bike rides.
You mean 3 times a day.
I'm sorry, 3 times a day, and 7 days a week.
And think about it this way, too. So we were very strategic with my training camp, even the last one. We realized, hey, I'm 28, I'm not 19 anymore. We would do an hour and a half, and still I would get to the point that I felt like my body was breaking down. These dudes, you're telling
me. And you've been fighting for a long time at one of the highest amateur levels, and you are fanatic about what goes in your body, and you still have a hard time making it through training camp.
Oh, absolutely. And these guys, you're telling me, are doing 6 to 7 hours. I mean, hell, when I have a tough lift, even now, it's to the point that my legs are sore for 3 days. And these guys can miraculously recover. Let me tell you something. Chael Sonnen said it best. After 25, your body changes. That's just a fact. You're no longer producing the same level of testosterone.
I will attest to that 100%.
You know? So Chael never denied he was on steroids. I love this guy. And that's, you know, he could have done the whole, oh, it wasn't me, it wasn't me.
It wasn't my piss.
Yeah, that Anderson is doing. But it's the truth. Your body changes. And if your body looks the same, from 25 to 40, like Anderson's, or it gets better like Vitor's, something's up.
I mean,
okay? We
were talking about it earlier off air. Some dudes are just physical specimens.
Yes, absolutely.
Dudes that started wrestling when they were like 6 and they have
abs. They were bred with muscles.
That's different, you know, but a lot of these dudes were not like that.
No.
Some of these dudes did not start training until, you know, maybe their late teens or early 20s.
Look at freaking Hector Lombard. He just got busted recently. Dude, the first time I saw him...
No shit, that guy looks like a fucking action figure.
When he made Nate Marquardt
fly.
Look small.
He made him fly, too.
He made him fly. And Nate got busted for steroids before, and he was just on another level, this guy, Hector.
Well, how about nobody's talking about Hector Lombard got busted for steroids now, right?
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck was he doing? He was competing in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he wasn't on steroids.
You know, there was a quote from Chuck Liddell, and I love it. He goes, man, back in my day, it was so much easier. All we had to do was fight. We didn't have to worry about drug tests. What does that tell you?
Tells me that I know for a fact that a lot of these dudes weren't even fucking with performance-enhancing drugs during their fight camp. They were doing, you know, acid, ecstasy.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, the problem with fighting now is, are these dudes tough? Yes, but the sport's evolving from being tough guys in the bar and tough people to the best athletes.
Oh, yeah.
So now it has no longer – I shouldn't say that. It has more to do with conditioning and strength training and maybe your physical appearance than actually does with your – than your toughness factor. See, you can learn to fight for sure.
No, I mean, you know what I'll say?
But you got to say there's a difference between like Hoist Gracie,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tank Abbott, the early days of Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. Those guys are fucking tough dudes.
Yeah.
The caliber of fighting was different for sure. It was a different animal. But the number one thing that was involved in those fights was that, like, that unattainable tough factor. Those guys are fucking brawlers.
Well, yeah, they were. But let's also be honest. There's a pussification every single generation. So, yeah, those guys were, you know, from another generation. They're, like, 40-plus now.
Like, dude, Tito Ortiz was the Huntington Beach bad boy. You know, like, a lot of these, I mean, now with laws and stuff, people aren't out just getting straight fucking raucous fistfights. But that's, like, that's how these dudes cut their teeth. They were getting in fistfights.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got into fighting professionally, because they were getting in trouble fighting in the streets.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Steroids don't make you a good fighter, point blank. I mean, if you look at Glory, those guys are phenomenal athletes. But beyond even being athletes, their timing, their skill, their precision. And, you know, I've talked to Eric Haycraft about this. He goes, steroids don't make you a good fighter. If that was true, every bodybuilder would be a world champ. What does make you a good fighter is actually having the reps in. The steroids, however,
help you get those reps.
Help give you those reps. Help it so that way you can do a 3 to 6 hour training session and come back the next day and not be sore.
That's the same thing with baseball. Baseball, people were saying, oh, it's going to help you hit the ball further. Well, guess what, dude? I could take all the steroids I want. I'll never be able to hit a 450-foot home run. I don't have the technique or the coordination mm-hmm. or the hand-eye coordination for that. But what it will help people do is play 162 games.
You know,
never get tired.
You know,
never get injured.
You know what's something nobody's addressing? Okay. I've not taken steroids, but let me say this. Steroids are fucking awesome.
Like, I don't give a shit if people take steroids.
Let's just be honest. I mean, you're telling me that there is something you can take that makes training more bearable, and you can do it every day, and you're less sore.
You're optimizing your training in a way, aren't you?
We like romanticize Captain America. That's basically what we're doing with steroids.
Wolverine. Like.
Yeah. Like, this is literally what we're doing. We're making these guys Supermen. So you're telling me people shouldn't want to do that, and especially if their livelihood is to make money based on performance?
Dude, look at the NFL. Every year, everybody waits for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the one most juiced-up team versus the other most juiced-up team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who the fuck you are. They must want to – look at these guys. They're paying them – the only reason why people in the NFL are running at each other full head of speed with a plastic shield on their head – and risking their life and health is because, they're juiced out of their fucking minds, but they're getting paid a whole bunch of money for it.
Oh, yeah.
No sane person's going to do that. Like, the steroids are what we want as an end result, but we don't want to know how they got there.
Oh, yeah. And we don't want to know that they're actually taking it. Oh, my God. I mean, I have a good friend, and I'll quote her on it, Phoenix Carnivale. She was freaking just bewildered that Anderson was on it. And she goes, I don't think fighters should be on it if cops and firemen don't take it. And I'm like, sweetie, they are. I know a bunch of cops who have told me they were on it. And
bro, have you seen New Jersey State Troopers?
Yeah. Or
those dudes
military.
Are fucking huge.
And I'll quote this. My boy Chris Longo has told me that he knows people in the military who use steroids, and I think they should because their life's on the line. That's stupid if they didn't use it.
Well, steroids, they also use amphetamines, stay up all night. There's a bunch of other shit that's a darker side of the human performance that we don't talk about.
Look, when I'm 50...
Look at Dave Asprey. He talks about it all the time. He takes Provigil. Yeah, like... if I was a student in medical school or college again and mm-hmm. I could take Provigil or Modafinil or whatever people take for
Adderall,
ADHD.
Yeah, I would take it.
I mean, fuck
imagine
it, why not?
Imagine if you can take something that's going to increase your chances of getting through medical school. Fuck, you're going to take it. Shut up. Don't act holier than thou.
Medical school, what if you have a job and your rent and everything is riding on the line of you focusing and paying attention? Maybe you're an air traffic controller. You're on a fucking plane to crash. You know, are you going to take something to enhance your performance? And how come that's okay?
And going back to Eric Haycraft, he even put it on Facebook. He's like, I'm not pro steroids, but I'm pro realistic. And that's what I am, too. I'm pro-realistic. I mean, you really think that you can tighten the tests and people won't find a way to beat your tests? You know? You really don't think that's going to happen, that eventually they're going to make a liquid that's going to mask it all?
Or they just don't get the tests back in time to the commission? Well, don't tell me that all those motherfuckers aren't in bed either. Dude, I get drug tests at work all the time, okay? Yeah. You literally, if they wanted to do it faster, they could. They literally meet you, you go piss, and then you get the results back in, what, like 10 days or something? Yeah. I work for a company that has hundreds of thousands of employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes 10 days or 2 weeks. You're telling me a professional fighter with millions and billions of dollars riding on the fight, you can't expedite that?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, bro.
And then let's talk about one, just point blank. All of these dudes are on steroids. You got everybody quoting that they're not on steroids, and everybody quoting.
They might not be on steroids now,
but they will be.
But listen, dude, like, you've trained for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by people's physiques.
Oh, yeah.
Who and who hasn't done certain things, right?
We had Rob Szymborski on this podcast say everybody in the bodybuilding community is on steroids. Afterwards, he explained what the markers were. Why do these people have those markers?
Dude, it's just ridiculous. Like, if you might not be on steroids now, but you probably did them at some point in your career.
Yeah, they probably
and
did.
And whether it was, to me, a steroid could even be like a cortisone shot.
Well, yeah, that I don't consider. But I mean, you know, that
if you want to get technical, that's technically a performance-enhancing drug.
You know what it is? I don't count those because I know a lot of people who have used them and had no results. So, but I mean, like, you take Winstrol, you will get lean as fuck, and you'll have better endurance. So that's why I really categorize it more in that
aspect. Anabolic, the designer stuff?
Yeah.
Dude, so many people have done shit. Just...
And you know what? When
just,
I'm 50...
Just be that Jason Giambi, man. Just own up to it.
Yeah, straight up. Or Chael Sonnen. When I'm freaking 50 years old and my pecs become man boobs, you better believe I'm going to my doctor to get testosterone, I'm getting GH, and I'm going to take some kind of anabolic steroid, because at 50 years old, who cares? You know, so
you're on the fucking downturn anyway.
You're on the downturn anyway, so why not increase your quality of life? Stallone has been a long-time GH user.
Dude, Rogan's been very open about that he has TRT.
Yeah.
Or a GH. He does one of them. He's been very open about it.
So why do we have to pretend that it's such an evil thing? Look, do I want it in sports? Absolutely not. I have stepped in the ring with people point blank. I know they're on steroids, and I'm Mr. Organic. So to see that pissed me off, but at the same time, I wasn't going, oh, well, this, you know, this is terrible, blah, 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 blah. You know what? It made me happier that they were on PEDs and I beat them, you know, so.
Well, how about that Twitter screenshot I sent you today with Diego Sanchez and Rich Franklin talking about, oh, Rich Franklin is out questioning some of his losses to people that have been popped for performance-enhancing drugs. Dude, Rich Franklin, looks like you've been on fucking juice for quite a while. And like I said to you in text earlier, maybe you should have spent less time at the juice doctor and more time in clinch defense practice. No offense.
You know, I met Rich Franklin a while ago, and, you know...
Did you make out?
Yeah. Whether he was on it or what he wasn't on it, my whole thing is, let's not pretend that it wasn't around. Let's not pretend... The only guy that I truly believe that's not on it, we had him on our podcast, Tom Galecchio. Why? His abs don't show when he's wearing a t-shirt.
I know Tom for a while, and I've trained with Tom, and I've seen him train. That dude was always the first one in, the last one out. He was one of the hardest working guys.
So I believe an individual like him, because I remember sparring with him when he was 20 and just realizing that, oh, no, this guy just has a lot of grit. But there's other guys you see who at 20 didn't have abs and at 30 look like a freaking sculpture. What's going on?
And what's – I mean, you're versed and your background is in nutritional science.
Yeah.
You know, what's the average weight people could put on muscle a year? It's like 7 pounds or something like that of lean muscle mass.
Legit lean muscle mass. But the truth is...
And that's like working hard and dieting perfectly.
Like,
and
no cheat days. Because let me tell you something. If you cheat...
I had ice cream cake today, I won't lie.
cake. Here's the thing. If you cheat, I don't care what anybody says... When you eat well 6 days a week, that cheat meal you had wasn't just some chicken wings. It wasn't just, you know, no, you went overboard. You ate 10,000 calories at one sitting.
China buffet.
You want a China buffet. So for these guys, like, oh, God, I hate putting him under the spotlight. But Hugh Jackman, my boy, a freaking Wolverine. Watch Wolverine number one. Sorry, X-Men number one. He had no abs, no musculature.
Dude, Brad Pitt, Fight Club, Will Smith, Muhammad Ali. These dudes are fucking juiced to the tits.
It's the craziest when you look at Hugh Jackman because you see him in this last X-Men movie. His abs have abs. He's more vascular than he's ever
been. Hairy as fuck.
But let's just focus on the fact that how the hell was he younger 10 years ago, but now he's more jacked?
CGI.
Yeah, exactly. It's all CGI. Hey, dude, look, if you want to take steroids and this and that, I think it's fine. I do agree. I would rather not have it in combat sports, but combat sports are going to get a lot more boring.
I don't have any problem with, like, musicians or, you know, entertainers using it because guess what? Hugh Jackman isn't punching anybody in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
For real.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not liver-kicking anybody for real. Yeah. He's not rear-naked choking anybody for real. You know, you get in the ring and you're fighting somebody on PEDs, they're hitting you for real.
Yeah.
And that also increases your chances of you getting fucked up for real.
But let's be honest. We watched Glory. You've watched several Glories with me. We loved it because of the knockout rate. Those knockout rates are going to go down.
And those guys, I don't know what they're testing for Glory is, but those guys look like they're fucking juiced to the gills,
those
too.
Those knockout rates in the UFC, these five-round battles that we love, the quality will diminish once you take them out. We loved Pride because everybody was Godzilla.
So
we loved Pride.
What do you think is your solution? Is it go back to the, like, don't ask, don't tell kind of Pride days? Or is it...
It's don't ask, don't tell, man. I'm the only one who's telling the truth about it. I'm the only one who understands the reality that we make drug tests harder. They will beat the tests.
It's like the Olympics.
You're gonna find a way to beat it. Okay, oh, then we'll make it stricter. Have we stopped the mafia yet?
But you know what nobody's talking about?
But look, really, think about that. Have we stopped the mafia? Have we stopped drugs in this country? Have we stopped anything that we've made harder?
Illegal immigration.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big issue. Still to this day, there's bank robberies. There's still bank robberies nowadays with the crazy amount of security we have. People will find a way to get by.
So, in your estimation, you being involved in professional and amateur combat sports, what is your conservative estimation of how many people are abusing performance-enhancing drugs?
Let's say, what level?
Either your level of amateur combat sports. Let me rephrase that. The people that you've worked with and the levels that you've been around.
All right, so let's say amateur. It's way less in amateur, and let me explain why. Look at the musculatures of everybody. Right there, that's the biggest giveaway.
Well, you're also dealing with younger people, too.
You're dealing with younger people, and this whole PED thing shows the... And I don't mean this in a bad way, the ignorance of people to steroids. It really has. So I don't think it's as prevalent in the amateurs because we don't have crazy physiques. You look at the UFC, though, come on. Why does everybody have a crazy, insane six-pack?
Dude, I've worked out my whole life. I've never looked that good.
Why does everybody have pecs like a bodybuilder? Our sport does not allow us to look like that. It doesn't allow us to look like that. We don't lift weights all day. We don't. So the fact that Hector Lombard can look better than the physique competitors that I train kind of is puzzling. You don't get that freaking jack from doing jiu-jitsu
and
or
I can't,
striking.
I can't imagine every single person on a UFC roster, there's 1,000 guys, just say, every one of them just has dynamite genetics.
Exactly.
Because every dude out there looks fucking like he belongs in a comic book.
Look at every light heavyweight. Look at every single light heavyweight, you know, and you go, why is this guy absurdly in shape? Why is everybody absurdly in shape? Look at your Uriah Faber, and I look at him with that freaking GH chin, you know,
that butt chin,
you're like, why is he so jacked? He's my weight, but he looks like he could dwarf me.
That's probably the TV makes him look 10 pounds heavier,
too. Yeah, his dick 10 pounds heavier, too.
So you're saying that amateur is not as prevalent, but in professionals that you've dealt with is super prevalent.
Oh, yeah.
But what's the one thing that nobody's talking about either is the money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a couple $1,000s to get on the gear, to get on the juice, whatever designer drugs you want to use. Nobody's talking about how much money you can make off of that.
Oh, yeah.
So you win one fight or get a big endorsement, you're talking potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. And yep. If you're on a main card and you're talking pay-per-view buys, sponsorships, you know, like...
It can change your life.
Dude, you, I mean, they're saying GSP, who I personally think he was juiced to the tits.
Look at him young, look at him now, the guy was making the mammillary developments on his nipples.
Say that again?
Look at the mammillary gland development in his nipples, look at him when he was young, and look at him now. He's got bitch tits.
And for people who don't know what that is, can you explain it?
Basically, what happens is steroids will decrease your natural production of testosterone. We get it from a synthetic synthetic form. A lot of times these guys, that's why they take HRT. But the biggest issue is that if your natural testosterone plummets, the inverse happens with our estrogen. Our estrogen increases. So that's why you'll see a lot of individuals with tit formation. And then in females who take steroids, that's why you notice their breast tissue goes down and they develop more pecs. It actually will leave a lasting mark. And a guy like GSP, who's been taking it for years, Phil Baroni called him out on that. There was one fight where GSP got in the ring and he started rubbing his nipples. And the next thing you know, Greg Jackson's like, oh, yeah, all my guys do it. It's a good luck thing.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Baroni's like, no, he's got bitch tits from steroids. He's making his nipples hard so they don't get sensitive during the fight.
That's really fucking gay.
Yeah, I know.
So, money is a huge factor.
Oh, completely.
They were saying that with GSP's compensation for his last few fights with pay-per-view buys, he was getting well over $5 million a fight.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I know that's chump change in the boxing industry, but, you know, so the problem with mixed martial arts, I personally think, is it's such a competitive arena now. People want to be fighters. They can make it a career, potentially, that if they say, hey, Joff, I'm going to pay you $1,000 to show and $1,000 to win on a small mm-hmm. circuit, right, plus ticket sales, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if you say, no, I want $2,000 to show, $2,000 to win, they just say, fuck you.
And you're fired.
And they just go to the next guy who'll do it for $500 to show and $500 to win. So there's a huge incentive. You win three or four fights in a small show, get a title fight and win, you could be looking at fighting in Bellator or UFC. Yeah. And we've seen it here in New Jersey with a ton of small-time guys. Frankie Edgar and Curry Pellegrino, all these guys have fought in the smaller shows and made it to the UFC. So,
well, don't you agree with this? I'm not upset with Anderson that he took steroids. I'm upset that
he got caught.
Yeah, with years and years of knowledge.
How the fuck you get caught, bro?
After doing it as long as he has, you're telling me now you don't know how to not get caught? They know the test. They know how it works.
They probably know when you're going to get tested.
Exactly. So I know these were, you know, post-fight tests, this, that, but there's ways to beat the test. A lot of their entourage, they specialize on how to beat the test.
They're nutrition coach, and yeah. I mean that in the quotes there.
Yeah. So the fact that he got caught was actually more of the disappointment, not that he was taking it. Because, I mean, look, we keep beating it to death. Your body doesn't get better after 25. So I'm just so sick of everybody being holier than thou. You just know how to beat the test. Anderson was just careless.
So what's the solution? How can we mitigate this? Like, if you were running a fighting organization and you wanted to clean it up, which I really don't think they want to clean up. I think it's more of a saving face thing because, let's be honest, sex sells.
Yes.
Like, nobody wants to watch two Roy Nelsons fighting each other.
No, not at all.
Everybody wants to watch, you know, Uriah Faber versus, you know, another sexy guy.
Yeah.
John Jones, whoever the next good-looking dude is. How do you clean this up? How do you fix this?
Honestly, you use the truest defining word, truest defining form of, you know, surprise drug tests. I mean, I'm talking about training camp starts drug test, you know. But the thing is, how much money are they going to have to invest in it? A lot.
Yeah, they're talking some of those tests are $40,000 a test.
Yep.
You test those guys twice mm-hmm. during training camp, ADG is like, Jesus Christ.
Right now, they're making it a bigger deal that the tests are going to be more strict and this and that. Maybe they'll be more strict for the higher caliber guys. But
the dude's fighting for 4-4 in the undercard. Who gives a shit?
That much money on the test.
They're paying guys $4,000 to show, $4,000 to win.
I know piss tests are pretty cheap. I know that.
Dude, you could test strips for $100 or something.
Yeah. You can, I mean, honestly, you can get your boy to pee for you. You can get a Wizinator, and there will be ways to beat the test. I know a fighter.
Well, you just put piss in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. That's a golden mouth shower. I know guys who used to have friends of mine pee in a cup for them. They would put it in the Wizinator, which is a fake penis, you know, and they put the urine in, they'd squeeze a penis, and the liquid would come out.
And it warms up next to your leg, so it reaches the right temperature.
Exactly, and they would get away with it. So people don't understand. How are you going to tell me the inspector's going to look at it, the individual's dick and go, huh, that doesn't really look like your dick. I think that's fake. Let me touch your penis.
Oh, thank you.
You know, like, they will find a way to beat it. Everybody will use a Wizinator.
And guess what? There will be a whole industry created, like there is now, on beating
the test.
The test. Look at all these weight-cutting specialists or these mm-hmm. diet-cutting specialists. How do these dudes drop 40 pounds in training camp and then go in fucking shred mode? I'm not naming any names here.
That's another thing. So let's start wrapping it up. Overall, Japan, A+.
A+. If you are a martial artist, I don't care what martial art you are. If you don't train judo, that's fine. If you do, go. Go to the Kodokan. They have a rad museum. They have a gift shop. They have a really cool building. You can see a bunch of all the relics and just learn the history. If you're not a judo player, you should go anyway, man. It's a cool place. It's where the sport started. It's been there for 200 years. It's pretty cool. It's an interesting place, and it should be part of your, like, if you Thai box, you should go to Thailand and Holland, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't, you should go and see one of those fights anyway. Everything. So Tokyo is the same thing for judo. Like, you should go there.
And, you know, on a summary of what we talked about, look, we did go on a rant on PEDs. My biggest thing I can tell you, guys, just do a Google search. Just Google search everything. Realize that it's all at your fingertips. And these guys, we basically force them to take roids. Because you know what? We ain't going to watch them if Frankie Edgar isn't going five rounds every time. We're not going to watch it if Sean Sherrick doesn't shoot a double leg that and, you know, lift a dude over his head.
Fucking Brock Lesnar just smashing everybody's face. How did that guy pass a fucking drug test is what I want to know. Jesus Christ.
Wizinator. So, look, and, you know, those names I just said a second ago, look, I'm not saying they're on steroids. I'm not. I'm just saying we're not going to watch the sport as contently if they were not to be on it. Believe me, don't believe me. You know, that's up to you.
That's like right now in the NBA. Most people don't know. The NBA's Players Union.
Mm-hmm.
They have a strict policy that the NBA cannot test any of its players for marijuana.
They don't do pot.
Well, I mean, there's been all these studies and theories that it's like, you know, puts you like in the zone. I don't know. I don't smoke weed, but just like anyway.
My boy Sean Fagan says, sometimes you just need a little pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so random question, Maz. I got a random question for you.
You got to go for it. Okay. Maybe I got a random answer.
Okay, random answer, random question. All right, so you're stuck in a closet, right?
I can't wait to come out of the closet.
You're trapped in the closet, right?
Which series, 1 or 7? 1 through 7?
series 1, right? You're trapped in the closet and you're looking and these two, it could be two girls, any girls that you like. What two girls would you want to be a creeper while watching in the closet?
Oh my God, there's so many.
Yeah, I just pulled that out of my ass. I'm
not really big on celebrities because mm-hmm. they don't really do much for me, but I was watching Blue Crush the other day randomly, and Kate Bosworth in Blue Crush, like the lead actress, this blonde chick, she could get it. So just number one.
Okay.
And number two is, I don't know if you ever watched the show, The Newsroom?
No.
It's on HBO. It's a series. There's one chick on there. She's brunette. She speaks, like, English and Japanese. She's a white chick.
Mm-hmm.
She can get it, too. I don't know her real name, but
I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
All right, what's my random question?
Random question for the Big Papa. Okay. Forever, your nickname has been Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, the whole background on that. If you can rebrand yourself with a new nickname or moniker, or, you know, what would it be?
Well, you know, another,
like, reinvent yourself, you know, because sometimes things get a little stagnant.
Absolutely. Like, my other nickname from fighting was Liver Assassin, hence, even the last fight, I need the guy to deliver and dropped him. But if I was to just kind of reinvent myself, it would be, honest to God, if I could reinvent myself, it would be 100% something like the Peaceful Warrior. And the reason being is if you read those books, it really is about having that peaceful heart and, you know, warrior spirit. I've read that book so many times and I've fallen off and on, you know, on and off that course. And I just think that if I could genuinely find it and hold on to it, man, life would be so much easier. Just being that positive guy, never letting anything bother you. But that doesn't happen in real life.
But then are you still allowed to fuck a motherfucker up if he steps out of line?
Well, dude, you know you can nuke a...
Well, that's all I got.
So we are out, guys. We're going to get more busy on the podcast. Follow us. We ranted a lot, but, you know, if you don't like it, then shut up.
Hey, make sure you check us out on iTunes. If you love the podcast, leave a review. If you hate the podcast, leave a review like some other asshole did. Yeah, fuck that guy. Guess what? Either way, leave a review. We got some cool stuff coming up in the works. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary of our podcast, so we're going to do something special I got planned. And stay tuned.
And the studio will be officially ready for going about like in a month, right?
Yeah, so for our one-year anniversary, we got a new studio coming, and we're going to have some big guests. We're going to do some more media, and hopefully maybe we'll do some cocaine and hookers.
Hell yeah, 2015, the year of John Jones.
Yeah, I love it. I'm in love with the cocoa.
Peace.